Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, March 19th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just... it couldn't be better.
Well,
storms
glad to hear
are
that.
Gone. The sun is out.
Oh, the sun is beautiful. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Chilly, but the sun is out, and that's all I care about.
Well, we call them East Chilly. They're really called daffodils. They're blooming all around the house now. So springtime's coming here, finally.
Yes, I have some daffodils in the house. And although it does, they don't do well for allergies, but... But
it's,
they're
it's
pretty.
Not long to start cleaning the garden out, you know. I mean, I have a small garden, a very small one. But I like getting fresh tomatoes, and I love growing jalapeno peppers. I love fresh jalapenos, so be time to plant those pretty soon.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to. Yep. There's a don't get started on me because it's but there's a winery here, and I'm close to where I live, and. Let me finish the statement. But they let you garden for free. They have a farm, and they have this, they plotted out lot, these plots for people that they can garden for free. And you just go out there, and it's not a large lot. It's a 10 by 20, but you can have two of them if you want.
That's pretty safe size.
And you have to, it has to be all organic. You can't use any pesticides or anything. I mean, there are some rules. So, you know, it has to be all the natural and organic type gardening that you do. So, yeah. So
that's pretty nice.
It is really nice. And,
you know, I'd say the first three or four rows are pretty straight. Then they get a little wavy after that with that winery close by.
Yeah, probably. You can sit there, drink wine, and watch your garden grow.
No, that is pretty nice to do that, because there's nothing like fresh produce in your own garden. It really is different.
Yes, yes, yes. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's very nice. Very nice for them to do that. So, let's see what gold has done today. Gold today was up $6.10 at $1,743. Silver's up 13 cents at $26.28. Platinum was down 13 at $1,197. Palladium was down 58 at $2,682. The USDX today was up 0.12 at 91.93. Crude oil after the big drop yesterday was up 1.5 at 61.52. And the PEPA markets, the Dow was down 98 points, 32,763. The NASDAQ was up. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to reverse that. Look, here it is, 5 minutes after the top of the hour, and they're still sending through changes on these numbers. The Dow was actually down 234 points, 32,627. The NASDAQ was up 99, 13,215. They didn't change those. The S&P was down 2 points at 3,913. 10-year yield, 1.73%. And maybe I'll just start holding the market report for the first or the second segment of the program. European and Asian markets were, the Asian markets were down all 1.5%. Germany was down a little over 1%. London was down almost 1%. And this all comes on the heels of the yields on the treasuries are rising and people are selling, and it is I think it's the beginning for the unwinding. And I mean, when you really look at this administration, Butch, I mean, you can't Yes. think of anything else. Although there are some that they just think this administration is doing awesome things. It's like, I don't know how they could think that.
No.
It's just as chaotic.
Oh, well, maybe more so in a lot of ways. You know, and I get tickled too. Now, you know, it's not a Trump fan, but everything is bad, Trump did it though. Everything's good now, Biden's doing it right. So, yeah.
I know it's kind of funny. But I'm sure it isn't new. They always blame the other administrations. Trump blamed Obama. Obama blamed Bush. Bush blamed Clinton. Clinton blamed.
And they all get together and sit down and shake hands and have conversation together, like, you know, they're best friends.
Yep. So
it's like watching some of the wrestling now. It's all made up and pre-planned. Same thing, politics.
Yep. It sure is. But, you know, the sad thing is, and, you know, I don't know how anybody, and I'm not making fun of the gentleman at all. I'm not making fun of, you know, I mean, I understand he's being used, and but, you know, he fell again. Biden fell again. Did you see that report?
No, I didn't see that.
He was boarding Air Force One, and he was going up the ladder, and he started out well, but he got up about halfway, and he fell down, and he got back up to, and he fell down again. So, you know, it could have been already from his injured foot that he had from his previous fall, but I can't imagine how there isn't anyone in this nation who well, there's a lot of people who thinks he's fine, but Butch, he's just...
No, he's not fine, and this is not making fun. I feel sorry for him in that sense. I'm not laughing about it.
I do. I feel sorry. I actually feel sorry for the guy.
I do, but he can't even put a sentence together unless it's somehow pre-programmed or something. He just can't do it, and he just the other day made a speech where he called Harris president.
You know what? I had a conversation.
He did call Harris president.
That's the second time that he did that. But you know what somebody told me? He says when people have dementia, that they often see themselves in a previous part of their life. And instead of just saying that, you know, he's calling her president because she's going to be the next president, is that he's actually thinking of himself as being vice president.
Ah, because he was, really. Yeah, okay.
Because he
sense.
Was.
Yes.
And with his dementia, it's taken him back to something that he was, you know, fond of previous, you know, in his earlier years. And I thought that was an interesting observation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the whole point is there's something wrong.
There is, and he's the supposedly the most powerful man in the world, being the head of the United States. And I'm sure many countries are just shaking their head at us. I know they are. They're mocking us as they did Israel in the Old Testament when they lost their footing. People, they mocked them. And it really isn't funny. It's a sad situation to watch a nation crumble that way. But it's sad to see an individual suffer that way and be put in the position he's been put in. And the people know that they have to be handled because he can't handle himself. He's got to be handled. And he's got to be more to sit in front of a desk and say, here, sign this. And I heard him say himself that I don't know what I'm signing. He said that over signing some executive orders. I don't know what I'm signing, but here he is signing them. So this is really a sad situation. And he's supposed to be, you know, head of the helm, and what he does and what he signs becomes law, so to speak, and it's changing people's lives. And that's not a good thing.
It isn't. And the evil part of it all is those who his handlers are, and they all have handlers, don't get me wrong, they all have handlers.
Sure.
But his particular, I mean, when you look and see and what happened to all of those other candidates just slowly dropping out to where he could arise, and, I mean, this has all been pre-planned.
Yes.
And, you know, and he didn't have enough sense to, you know, oh, I'm going to be president. But he didn't have enough whatever is wrong with them. Maybe he did understand, maybe he didn't, I don't know. But he certainly is, and we all know where this is headed. We all know he's going to be...
Much worse.
Much worse, and pushed out of office. And
so President Harris will be President Harris.
It will be President Harris, yeah. Yeah.
I think we're in for a very, very rough ride ahead. And again, I was not a Bush fan. I mean, a Trump fan. Don't go saying, well, you're a Trump. No, I wasn't. But this is going to be even worse in a lot of ways. And economically, eventually, all this giving away free money is going to come to a head when people realize that it wasn't free. And what's going to cost us in a lot of ways, especially with inflation, is going to be unbelievable. And I think unless the Lord does something to shorten it somehow, we're going to live to see this, Mel. I think we're going to see it the next couple of years at maximum. We're going to see hyperinflation. I may be wrong. I'm not setting dates. I don't do that. But the way things are looking right now, hyperinflation is just a just maybe months away.
It really is. And wait till all of this, the stimulus that they just passed hasn't hit the, hasn't hit the economy yet.
Yep. I don't know. Many people don't realize this. They don't understand it. And for younger generation, let's say 40 and under, they never were taught it. But I never was taught either. And I'm 72 years old. They didn't teach me in school about really about money. They didn't teach about constitutional money. They didn't tell us what we had fiat currency. They didn't tell us this. In 1964, when they took the silver out of the coins, no one that I went to school to, the high school teachers, thought, well, no, they shouldn't do this. No one said that. So we have been taken down through our own ignorance. That's what Hosea 4:6 says. My people destroyed for lack of knowledge. We let them take away our last vestige of real money in 1964, replace it with junk metals and paper. And inflation since 1964 has went through the roof. Gold went from $30 an ounce to $1,800 an ounce. Silver dropped down equally in value. Dollar did. I mean, we could buy 10 loaves of bread for a dollar, and I remember that. You certainly can't even come close to that today. But that's because they took away the last vestige of real money when they took silver out of coins. They took it away from us, and people didn't say a word. At least not enough that I know of. And look where we are today. And we've just seen the beginning of it. This is nowhere near over.
No, it isn't. And we're beginning to see the fractures. We're beginning to see the weakness in this nation. It's releasing its, we're just seeing it everywhere.
We truly are. And there's a lot more to talk about besides finances too, but that's a different program. But there's so much going on. It's undermining our culture and our foundations of this country that's unbelievable. It's unrecognizable what it was even 50 years ago.
20 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thought it was bad 20 years ago. Good grief. Yeah, but the big question is, where are we headed? I mean, we understand inflation. We understand, what's going to happen and so forth. And that's all based on the economy and inflation. But where are we going to be as a people? Where are we going to be as Americans?
How is
that going to be transformed?
More and more. I mean, we're being divided more and more every day.
Yeah. I mean, how is that going to transform in the years to come? What is going to bring us back to being Americans again, together? Is that even possible?
Well, how much more can we be divided and stand together at all?
Yeah.
Every time we're divided into more factions, we become weaker as a nation, as a people. You know that.
Absolutely, I do. That's what I'm talking about. And where do we go from here?
If we don't unite somehow with some kind of common decency and morality, there's nothing left to build on. And the hatred in this country is growing so rapidly, and it really is. And I just breaks my heart. But a black and a white gentleman cannot at least shake hands and agree that we don't murder our babies, we don't destroy our children. They can't agree on that any longer.
No.
And that's really, really the underlying destruction of the foundation. Without a moral basis that we can all live together on, we have no basis to build on at all.
Huh.
That's where we are.
Yeah, and that's where we are. And so how do we go from, where are we going from here? It's I don't see it getting better.
No, it's not going to change. I wish they'd say it's going to, but that isn't what the scriptures teach me at all. And I don't want to make people feel negative. I mean, we still have individuals that can come to knowledge of Christ and change their lives. But as a nation, America is too divided and too confused over issues that we shouldn't even have been discussing because they're not that important. We need to develop a moral basis, like I said, and build together as Americans, not as blacks and whites and Latinos, whatever. How about just being American? Let's build together.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? You mentioned something about us being negative. We're not negative. This is just reality, folks.
No, this is negative.
It isn't. And our reality, it's not negative, but it's real.
I mean, if your house is on fire and you're in there asleep and I say, get up, your house is on fire, am I being negative? I'm trying to save your life. We're not being negative. Hey, your house is on fire. I'm sorry about that. I guess it's negative to the point you're going to lose your home, but you're not going to lose your life if you listen. Yeah. All we're trying to do, the people, your house is on fire. It's being burned up from under you. And if you don't react soon, you're going to be part of it. That's why Melanie comes on every day and tries to convince you to buy something of found, something of fundamental worth that will contain, will at least can maintain your livelihood for a while. That's what she's saying. Wake up. Your house is on fire. She's not being negative. She loves enough to tell the truth. But if you don't pay attention, and we haven't been paying attention for a long time, our house is about down. It truly is.
We could talk about lollipops and sunshine.
Rainbows, lollipops, and yeah. Yep.
But anyway.
You talk about, we always talk about silk, precious metals, and I article interesting comics trend. Silver short squeezes appear to be back on track, and you know silver all of a sudden took a big jump. You know that, I mean a big jump, and it hasn't backed up too much. But since comics is a primary futures and option market for trading metals such as gold and silver, there have been some interesting trends for silver in the comics in recent months. More investors are taking delivery of silver. In other words, the short squeeze may still be on track, albeit in slow motion, and this could impact the silver price moving forward. You will recall that last month, the Reddit investors turned the spotlight onto silver. The hope was to create a short squeeze in the market by buying up physical silver. The price popped temporarily, but it appeared that at the time, the silver market was just too big for the Reddit raiders to squeeze. The price dropped back and the spotlight dimmed, but looking at some trends in the comics indicates that squeeze it might still be on. So they're saying silver is going to go up more. Melody, I think silver is going to hit $50 now sometime. I don't know when, but it's not going to be far in the future, I don't believe. I think it's going to hit $50 now. It did before.
There's no doubt in my mind.
It did before.
That it won't hit $50. I mean, it's going to hit $50. I mean, that's a given. I mean, it truly is a given. Where it goes from there, we'll just have to wait and see. But you know, I was reading, I can't remember where I saw it, but I was reading if Bitcoin could reach 65,000, where do you think gold's going? If some of these metals that we were talking about the other day, rhodium, if that can reach 30,000, where do you think gold can go? I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Yes, it is.
To where these numbers can go. Well, they're just going to control it. Yeah, they try because they hate gold and they understand. They understand it. I remember Bernanke. He was asked about him watching the markets in 2008. He says, no. He says, we watch gold every single day. And we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
I remember that one too. Maybe a lot of children, I remember it.
Oh, yep, that was one of my favorites.
Well, I never did chemistry show, but I remember that. Sure remembered. You know, back in the 70s.
The earlier ones were funny. The later ones, not so much, but the earlier ones were good.
They got really kind of, well, I won't get into that. But anyway, I remember back in the 70s, they just finished up the New River Gorge Bridge here in West Virginia. The bridge is a single span bridge. It's about 900 foot high. It's called the Grand Canyon of the East. But anyway, Lucille Ball was trying to buy some property next to the bridge to build a motel, but they didn't sell it to, wouldn't sell it to her. She
Good.
Build, yeah, she wanted to build a motel here, so I remember that.
Hmm. Oh. So, yeah. Some of the early ones were funny, but, you know, the later ones, not so much. But anyway, let's get into some news today. What's happening around the world in the United States of America?
This is quoted scripture. I'm not going to quote scripture because it has to do with what the dream of Pharaoh had when Joseph there, Daniel there, interpreted the dream in the book of Genesis. That on the verge of a global crisis, one bank warns of a biblical surge in food prices, just out of Rabobank. And they biblical lean and mean dreams of agri-commodity super cycle. And the Bible talks about when Joseph was in Egypt, he interpreted a dream for Pharaoh, and the dream showed the Pharaoh said they saw cattle come up and they were fat and they were growing healthy looking. And then they had another one come up as lean and, you know, really sad. And it's 7 year cycles. Joseph said, this is going to happen. 7 years, you're going to have plenty. And 7 years, you're going to do without a lot. And by the time they were done, with Joseph's help, Pharaoh owned most of the property in Egypt. They bought it up. He bought it up with his treasury when the food was very lean. So the government ended up owning most of the land in Egypt. Folks, that's in your Bible. And that's what they're saying here at the Rabobank, that there's a biblical surge in food prices coming up. And I think he's right, because agriculture has been cut off so many different ways, Melody, weather, finances, everything else. You know that. The farmers have been struggling for years, and conglomerates want to buy them up. We even have Bill Gates buying up farmland. Imagine that. You think he's going to grow organic crops so we can all eat healthy?
Of course.
This is going to come together, folks, and the food prices are going to soar. I don't like to see it happen. I mean, a lot of people are going to do without a lot of things that they used to have. But I know people right now personally, who don't buy some of the things they used to buy, things they didn't really need probably, but they buy the extra just sometimes for a treat. They don't do any longer. They're buying something they need to have to survive on. And that's speaking already, the food price is going up as we speak right now. We know already the commodities went up, corn and wheat and others went up 50% in the last few months. 50%, 50%. That's going to show up in your store real soon. Probably already is. Any comments on that, LD?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. We talked a little bit about this yesterday on the program about pricing, and then mainly it was about plastics and so forth, but I had a customer call me, tell me, you know, farmers can't get seeds. We know in this $1.9 trillion, sure, there's money going to the farmers, but it's to minority farmers. And so we have a lot of droughts around the world. China's cutting back. They're not going to feed their cattle anymore, soy, and because prices are going to getting too high. They can't afford to feed their livestock. We're going to see the same thing over here. Someone told me that fertilizer doubled since December. Fertilizer doubled. So and all of that is going to come down into your pricing for your food.
That's right. We'll pay for it.
And not only that, not only are prices getting higher, food is getting scarce. That's You know, we hear of rice, shortages in rice, because so many of these rice-producing nations have been hit either by, mostly by floods, by rain, not rain, but fire. And so it's a little here, it's a little there, and all of a sudden all of these littles combine to one big thing. And this is where we're coming to. And yeah, store up your food, ladies and gentlemen. Get food storage. You don't have to go out and spend thousands and thousands of dollars on food. Get yourself some rice. Freeze it. That's supposed to keep the bugs away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, store it, use it, refill it. Canned goods, do the same.
Sack of beans or protein with the rice, they're good together.
Absolutely. I mean, you can get, you know, every time I mention this, somebody says, well, it's got some mercury. Well, you know what? When you're hungry, I don't think you're really going to care whether it has mercury. Tuna fish.
Yeah, I agree.
Get tuna fish. Rotate it. A lot of your canned goods have long shelf lives. And I remember, Butch, when we were kids, we didn't have expiration dates.
No.
You know, you opened a can, if it tasted tinny, you threw it away. But
they had enough sense to get it on their own back then.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you didn't eat it if it was tinny. If you tasted a little bit of metal, yeah, you didn't eat it. I mean, it's that simple. We've made things so complicated that we have to follow this, follow that, do this, don't do that. Oh, my gosh, it's past the expiration date. It's not good anymore. Throw it away. Like, oh, my gosh. So there's a lot of things you can do for storing your food. And again, you don't have to spend thousands and thousands. You have to rotate it, you know, because you don't want it to go bad on you. But you better start doing it.
I agree. So. Totally agree. You know, and I remember growing up, Mama would can her own stuff, and it'd be in there for 4 or 5 years, she'll be good.
Absolutely,
it stayed good for years and years, and it tastes just as fresh as the day she canned it. I remember that. I remember eating her strawberry preserves in the wintertime. It tastes like summertime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so good. I remember those things. But that's something you don't see very often anymore. People, wild strawberries around here about all gone. They spray the wrong roadsides and they kill them. But yep. used to can blackberry, make blackberry jam and strawberry jam and all this. But, you know, it's a thing of the past normally now.
The thing of the past. Yep. Oh, and I can remember very well walking down my grandparents' lane picking strawberry. I mean, they were just there. I mean, they were just there. You just went out and picked them along with violets.
Yep.
Along with violets.
A lot of things changed.
Yes.
And wild strawberries had 5 times the flavor of tame strawberry.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Much better. Much better flavors. But, you know, the next article here, this is also biblical. And I can't help refer to the Bible because I'm a preacher, but it is biblical. The currencies of the world are going to be all one day. It's going to be controlled by what's called the beast system. This article says the coming global enslavement to digital currencies. Now, folks, this is no joke. I remember when the credit cards first came out, preachers saying one day we'll do without cash. And I didn't disbelieve them, but I thought, wow, will that really happen? Well, yes, it is. Central bank digital currencies are the future of currency. And when they arrive, they'll enslave the world. To understand why, you first need to understand what they are, how they serve the vision of those in power, and why they're inevitable. Central bank digital currencies, CBDCs, have yet to be launched on a large scale, but advocates envision a government-controlled cryptocurrency. Notice that? Government-controlled cryptocurrency, folks. If it's not government-controlled, it won't be any good. Just keep that in mind. That replaces national currencies. CBDCs will use the digital tokens on the computer network to represent a national currency. They'll rely on blockchain, the same technology behind Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other popular cryptocurrencies. As a replacement for paper currency, CBDC will serve as a digital equivalent of paper currency for use as payment and an official unit of account. It will carry its own unique serial number or digital watermark to prevent counterfeiting. Across the world, central banks are openly discussing the introduction of CBDCs, including England, Canada, China, European Union, and the United States. Even the United States, folks, discussing this. So why should you care? Because CBDCs are far different from Bitcoin and other popular cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin is decentralized. No single authority controls it. In contrast, central banks will operate and control CBDCs. As you'll soon see, this simple distinction is the difference between a libertarian's dream and every citizen's nightmare. And Melody, the Fed proves that. The Fed proved what central control for monies can do, does it not?
They do it every day.
They do it every day, and they frown you making your own money. They control money. They control what they call money. It's paper, but they control it. And a Bitcoin will be no more value than a piece of paper. But it'll be what you use one day to trade with. And talk about it today with the cash in our hand, which we won't call cash, it's paper money, we can change the goods in a private way. But with the new coins coming in, the cryptocurrencies, everything you do will be put online in a computer. I don't care if you buy a loaf of bread or you buy a tractor off a friend or you buy a gun off a friend. They'll know where it come from, what you paid for it, and that you got it. So understand this is leading to more lack of privacy, more control, and folks, it's coming just like the Bible said it would, and your independent coins will be no good. They will go to the central coin maker, and ones you've been buying for years will be worth nothing. It's coming to that when? I don't know. But obviously, if nations like China and the European Union, Canada and England and the United States talking about it, the five leading financial nations in the world, I mean, if they're talking about it, it's serious. Any comments on MLD?
No, I mean, absolutely. And you know, it is about control. But, you know, you were talking about, you know, you'll be using your little cryptocurrencies and so forth like that so they can watch and know everything that you do and so forth. But you know what? They're also going to be giving you that money because they're going to continue to push this UBI.
Sure.
I mean, this is all conditioning. This is all conditioning, getting handouts from the government. And,
it's like direct,
you know,
sorry, like the direct deposit. It's out of your hand. You're not paid in cash. You don't even get a check. You get direct deposit.
Yeah, and you're told how much you have.
That's exactly
how much
right.
You can spend.
And you also told how much you can withdraw at a bank at one time, too, without permission.
Yeah. So, you know, it's setting it all up. It's all conditioning the population. They just can't come out to this huge population and say, this is going to be the way it is today. And no, they condition you. They soften you up. They put you in hardships. You know, that they take away your, you know, again, we're back to that pot, that frog in the pot, slowly boiling. And then that's exactly what they've done. And they've been successful. They've been successful.
Yes, they have.
And my heavens, we're so divided now as a nation, you know, I've seen comments and cartoons already that, you know, showing the conservative, you know, going to the bank, cashing his little stimulus check while he's got, you know, the bumper stickers on his vehicle of, you know, government's too big and, you know, no bailouts and things like that. It's just like so many people just can't see. We've been divided so much that if you think differently than they, it's just amazing when you can see everything happening.
Well, when you see on video a person turn down a silver bar, a bar of silver for a Hershey
chocolate
bar, you know there's something wrong.
Yeah. So, I mean, it truly is, it's fascinating to some degree. If it wasn't my country and I was watching
it's
some other
really
country
sad,
and
yes,
other people, it's fascinating. But it's sad that we're losing so much or have lost so much.
Anyway. It is. And Ford cancels shifts, builds partially assembled vehicles amid deepening chip shortage. Who would have dreamed that we couldn't build cars because we couldn't find a computer chip? Why don't we go back to points, plugs, and distributed caps and rotors? And why don't go back to that? They didn't need chips. They didn't need all that. Why don't go back to something simpler? I know it's all about control and gas mileage, but it was so much easier back then to tune up your own car. That's why they don't do it any longer. The global supply chain remains stretched thin, with Ford Motor Company announcing Thursday evening that it will continue to build its top-selling F-150 trucks and Edge SUVs without certain parts, according to CNBC, quoting a Ford spokeswoman. And I have an Edge. They're a nice vehicle. Mine's 6 years old, but it's a nice car. I like the Ford Edges. But anyway, the spokeswoman said the automaker would continue building the F-150 and Edge models for several weeks without specific semiconductor components. When those chips are made available, the vehicles, expected to be in the thousands, will have workers to install the chips. In other words, they're no good to you, folks. The chip's out. Another computer-controlled device. If they want to shut you down, they push a button and you're shut down. Production woes don't stop here. Ford canceled three production shifts through Friday at a Kentucky plant that produces Ford Escape and Lincoln Corsair crossovers. Next week, Ford expects to limit production of the Ford Fiesta car made in Germany. By now, the world knows a massive chip shortage is worsening and could jeopardize the economic recovery. Ford expects a chip shortage could cut lower its earnings from at least $1 billion to $2.5 billion this year. A whole automobile needs probably a 50-cent piece of plastic with a circuit in it, and it shuts down the whole car. Now, Melody, I know this to be a fact, so I've had cops show me this. They can actually point a device at your car and shut you down all by yourself along the road and shut your car down. Mm-hmm. That's because it's computerized. They just shut down the computer semiconductors in your car, and you're done. Back in the day, when I remember, they couldn't do that because everything was nothing. It was computerized. It was all, it was electric, but it wasn't computerized. And now we're seeing the time when you can't build a car. They have to shut down production lines because of a 50-cent computer chip or whatever it might cost. I don't know. But think about that. That is really sad. That's the kind of controls over us right now, Melody. When a foreign entity that makes our computer car chips decides not to give us our chips, what are we going to do?
Drive old cars?
I guess. I would love to find me an older car. I really would. If I could find one that could afford it back in the day before all this was done, I'd buy it just for that reason. I really would. Because it's hard to control something that they can't just shut down along the highway. This had been several years ago, 8, 9, 10 years ago. They did an experiment right here in West Virginia on Route 79 towards Morgantown. That's up in the northern part of the state. Not quite up in Panhandle, but up next to that. They shut down traffic for miles to see what would happen when they'd done it. They did that. They shut it down literally. And everybody wondered what happened. All the cars just quit. Then they let them start it back up, of course. But that actually happened here. So that's the kind of control they have over your automobile, folks. And your car tracks you and traces you everywhere you go. Your car has a black box in it. It's like an airliner. And it knows when you brake, how fast you're going. All that's known by your vehicle. And that's why some insurance companies now want you to put a little device in your car so they can look at it, too, and see if your insurance rates will drop or not. That is spooky. But that's America.
Well, you know what? You want to hear something spooky?
What's that?
How about having a car that when you didn't get the oil changed when you should have, you get a letter from the company telling you that you're past due.
Really?
Oil change.
You got one of those?
Yes. I'm just saying.
How do they know?
Because we're heading into the break. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
I remember that, but can't place it.
Can't be the little rascals. Yes. Is it the Little Rascals?
Yes. Alfalfa and all the whole bunch. Yeah.
Yeah, the Little Rascals there, ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't know, but I bet many of you did. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom here with Pastor Butch Paul. It is Friday, March 19th, 2021, and what's next, Butch?
Well, you didn't finish up telling about how they know your car is not due, or is this past due?
Oh, yeah. So, and what was interesting, and the only reason I knew what was going on is because I actually did have my oil changed, but the garage where I took it to couldn't change the reset it. So the people came and said, hey, you know, it's not like you're due for one. It's like you're so many days past your date of oil change. And, you know, if you don't get it done, they threaten you with, you know, you could void your warranty and so forth and whatnot. So it is, so they do track, and you know, it kind of took me by surprise because, yeah, you get letters saying, hey, you know, you're due for an oil change. Come on in and we'll save you 20%. So no, it wasn't that. This was, we know that you didn't do it, so you better get in there and get it done, or you void your warranty.
Shamey, yeah. Shamey on you.
Shamey.
Now back to the news. And we knew this was coming. I've said this many, many times. When the state cuts out food tax, they raise another tax. They compensate for it. Yeah. They never, never, never do it without getting their taxes. If they cut gasoline tax, they'll raise property taxes, or vice versa. But they'll get their tax money. They always do. Please, folks, don't think, because I'm going to the state where they don't charge income tax. They'll get it in property tax. They'll get it somewhere.
Yep.
States and governments are not known to cut their own throats. Okay? Your throat, yeah, not theirs. But two states tax some drivers by the mile. Many more want to give it a try. I talked about this 10 years ago or so. When they start getting cars easier on gasoline, they're not buying much gasoline, they're going to make up a difference somewhere else on taxes. I said, there's coming a time they're going to tax you for driving down the highway. Now, I didn't understand all the details of it. I said, it's going to happen because they have to have tax money. Well, here it is. Bruce Starr spotted the program right away. The hydrogen-powered car General Motors was showing off on the Oregon Capitol grounds wouldn't need gas. Now, if they didn't need gas, drivers wouldn't be paying gas taxes and fund the state's roads. It was 2001, and the problem seemed urgent. GM predicted the cars would be on the market in a few years. Starr, then a Republican state representative, created a task force to figure out how the future of transportation, funding. There's no asphalt ferry out there that sprinkles asphalt in the night on our roads, he said recently. Widespread production of hydrogen-powered cars has not come to pass. But GM is eyeing an all-electric fleet by 2035 with the backing of Biden administration. That has lawmakers in the state capitals across country and in Washington increasingly confronting the question that troubled Starr 2 decades ago. Now, most of y'all know this, I'm sure, but there's a federal gasoline tax and a state gasoline tax. West Virginia has one of the highest state taxes in this country because their property taxes are very low in this state compared to others. Very low. And there's no food tax. so they got to get it somewhere else. But anyway, many have settled on an answer, charging drivers a penny or two for each mile behind the wheel. But while such a system would bring in tax dollars for roads, it also would present a new set of obstacles. States are leading the way, with Oregon and Utah launching the first programs and several others running pilots to test technology and build public support. The approach has bipartisan support in Washington, and Transportation Security Pete Buttigieg has signaled his openness. And I said it on purpose, folks. I know his name isn't Buttigieg, that's why I call him. But anyway, it starts out a penny or two per mile. How long do you think it'll stay at a penny or two per mile if it starts out that low? It's going to be a nickel probably starting off, and who knows from there. But they're going to get their tax money one way or the other. I promise they are. I remember years ago when they put the first tax on aluminum Coke cans. You remember when they started taxing aluminum Coke cans?
Mm-hmm, sure do.
I remember our state was going to add 1 penny, but just temporarily, just for temporary tax. It never did go off, but it went up. Once they get a tax in, they're not going to take it away unless they find another way to get it back, and probably in more than they were getting out of the penny. So they're going to start charging you to travel down the highway by the mile. Now, I've been living on the road for 40 years. That would have killed me financially. So there we go, Melody. I don't want to say. States will get their money. Governments will suck us dry. They will take their last dime in order to keep themselves funded. And they don't care whether you and I survive or not, as long as they survive. And that just kind of sounds heartless, but it's true. It's very true. Who do they go to anytime they need more money? Do they go out and dig in their own pockets? Do they try to find ways to, you know, to find other ways to fund their projects? No. Biden's raised the income tax higher than it has been raised since 1993. He's about ready to hit us again. They go to the people and bleed them a little more. And corporations that are being bled pass the cost down to you and I, so we pay the tax, plus we pay for more at the market because it's passed down to us. We get double whammied. Any comments on that, Melody?
No, I mean, we really do. And it's like everybody, and they're very good. They'll always use the strings that moves people's hearts, like, you know, the schools, the children.
Of course.
All the bleeding heart. They are bleeding heart stories. And yeah, but when does it stop? You've never seen government shut down a program so they can have the funds and move it someplace else. I think the only one who's ever done that was Trump. He didn't really shut down anything, but he moved funds from point A to point B to get it done. And you're right. Government wants it. They will get it, and they will take it.
And they are very innovative in how they do it, too.
Sure. I mean, I heard a discussion one time about it was the Hotel Restaurant Association, and it was just a general conversation of what happened back, probably in the late 90s, early 2000s, and, you know, the city council came in, they needed money. And it was just like, well, let's charge a tax to the restaurants and hotels. And it's like, well, we're not going to pay for it. Well, you guys can increase your room rates. You guys
that's
can increase your food
too.
Rates. And that's what they do. And they pass on these little small rates, but to the consumer. But you know what? It adds up.
Have
so
you ever
anytime,
looked at the,
yep.
the cost of motel room, what goes to the state and county? You ever looked at mean, it's a chunk.
It's a chunk. And especially now, hotel rates are what? You know, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500?
Yep. If you find a room for less than $100, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You really are.
Well, actually, you're doing pretty bad. But that's how they do it. Nobody's going to pay. And they'll just funnel it down until they stop. If the people stop coming to the restaurants, if people stop going to the hotels, well, maybe you'd see a little bit of a difference. But we know that's not going to happen because there's too many people.
Yeah.
There's too many people now. So as many people as we are, we have such a a quiet voice.
We do. And it's starting to be more people get angry and speak up, and that's great. But there should be a whole lot more. We should be literally in the streets over some of these things. And like they are in other countries, saying enough is enough. But we're not doing it.
What's next?
And here's how Americans said they will spend their latest $1,400 stimulus check. And I was impressed, one of them, that the leading way they want to spend it is not spend it. They're going to put 34% said they're going to put it in savings. Good for them. Put in some gold and silver, folks. Buy a couple gold coin, a little bit of silver. Do it, seriously. Food, 30%. Housing, 22%. Credit card debt, 18%. Home improvement, 11%. I'm going to do some home improvement with mine this time. Lord willing, I am. I'm about back part of my house. The office is this pine siding. It's pretty, but I always have wood boars. You know what those are. They look like bumblebees, but they're boars. Get into the wood, and woodpeckers dig them out, so they're eating my house. But anyway, clothes, 8%. Investment in the stock market, 6%. Child care, 5%. Vacation or trip, 5%. Education, 4%. Electronics, 4%. Investment in cryptocurrencies, 3%. And student loans, 2%. So if you're going to put it in savings, folks, put it in gold and silver. I know what by your fortune's worth, but it's worth more in the long run than you put it in savings account. What's savings account pay, Melody? Less than, what, 1% now, probably? I don't know.
Way less than 1%. It's like 0.02.
Folks, why 0.02. Put it in there? The inflation rate's 10%. Think about that. Put in something that's going to gain value, not lose value. Selling art to pay the bills divides nation's museum directors. Another place hard hit I didn't think about. It started as a stopgap measure to respond to a pandemic, a temporary two-year loosening of an Association of Art Museum Directors policy that has long prohibited American institutions from selling art from their collections to help pay the bills. But more and more museums are taking advantage of the policy, and the association began discussing making it permanent, an idea that, depending on which institution you talk to, either makes perfect sense or undermines the very rationale for their existence. You understand. I mean, museums are places, I guess, where you show art and different things that you think is worth keeping for, you know, people to see from past situations, whatever, past lives or past generations. But now they're going to sell and pay the bills. I never really thought about museums going under like this, but yeah, the pandemic affected them too. They're going to start selling their collections to pay their bills. That's sad, but that's what it is.
It really is sad, because what they'll do is they'll just go into now private collections.
Sure.
And it will no longer belong to, you know, people to appreciate. And so to some degree, it's almost like canceling some art.
It is.
Because if it gets into private hands, I mean, some, they can go into a private, and they could still show it. You know, maybe there's some kind of arrangement or agreement like that. That even
maybe
though it might go into private hands, they
maybe somebody will buy
it
and leave it there and under their name or something. That's a thought.
Correct.
You know.
Yeah.
And what was you called today? The digital art F. What was it? FRT. What was
NFT? NFTs.
NFT. The guy was on a guy online. Him and some buddies put together while they were at home. They put together a recording of them passing gas, and they got a bid of $183 for it so far. But anyway, just want to let you know that. So it's been sold online too. So, really, folks, I'm not making up. That's for real. I come in wealthy. But anyway.
I know. You can sell anything on the internet.
You can. Cruises for Americans coming back with or without CDC blessing. Now, this really sounds like something I really thought, wow, there's somebody going to take a stand and say, we're going back to work. I thought this is wonderful that I read the article. Crystal Cruises is getting Americans back out on luxury ships with or without a green light from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. While most major cruise companies continue to wait for the government agency to establish guidelines for a safe return to sea, the two-ship Crystal, owned by Genting Hong Kong, is taking another route entirely. On Thursday, it opened sales for 16 itineraries that sail exclusively around the Bahamas and a week at a time, starting in July, allowing American travelers easy access while bypassing all U.S. restrictions. Now, folks, that isn't really entirely true. The trips will only be made available to fully inoculated travelers who must show their vaccine cards before boarding. No, they didn't bypass restrictions. They made another one. If you don't have the vaccination passport, you don't get on the ship. And I was all excited. I thought, well, they're going to go back to work no matter what the government thinks. But I should know better than that.
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, because I thought it was strange. Like, why, you know, people went and got their vaccination, and then they get an appointment card, and then they stamp it to show that you had both of them. It's like, if this wasn't the direction that we were heading in, what, people can't keep count of their own appointments? And yeah. After you get your second one, why do you need to keep the card to show? I mean, throw it away. I mean, why is it encouraged to keep it so you can show that you have it?
Yep, exactly right.
If I tell if somebody gets the shot and says, "Hey, they're no longer going to be believed?"
Well, 12 states, amazing, including West Virginia, by the way, are way ahead on vaccinations, but we have an upsurge in COVID. COVID cases are spiking in a dozen states with high vaccination rates. And that's a fact, folks. The vaccines are not working. Now, that's what it says. I didn't write the article. Understand that this is not going away. This is not going to go away. There's been too much control through it, and they're not through controlling us yet. It's going to get much worse. So take that to the bank. It's going to happen. One more thing. Soulless Putin challenges Killer Biden to a live debate. So here we go. That'll be the match of the year, buddy.
Just another lovely day in the neighborhood. But but I do believe we're heading out of this hour and heading into the weekend. So I want you all to be safe out there, and I hope you join us on Monday. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a well.